Amen. It's been mighty sweet this week, hasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
What a blessing the Lord to meet with us like He has. And as long as we keep what he loves important, I'd say that He has a motivation to continue to be good to us and meet with us. I can't say thanks enough to this church, and really no way to express my appreciation to your pastor and his wife, and how they have blessed my life and helped me, and how this church has been such a blessing to me. And now, even more than ever, now that the Doucettes are family, it's just been a great blessing. And I don't know how to say this other than to say thank you for all of how you shaped Hannah's life. She has been such a blessing at our church. And she's been ministering to teen girls and helping them, and just been a blessing in so many ways. And we just praise the Lord for that. Well, let's take our Bibles together one more time, back to the book of 1 Chronicles. Let's go to the last chapter, chapter 29. We preached on the offerings of David, and up to this point, none of the offerings have had anything to do with money. Isn't that amazing?
Yep. How about that?
The first offering was an offering of water to the Lord. The next one was offering of blood sacrifice. And then last night, an offering of thanks. And then tonight, we'll get into the money. Because that was also a part of David's heart for the Lord. And it's a rather astounding story. And before I got into all the study of this, it didn't dawn on me that this is probably, I can't think of another instance, I tried to search it out, probably the greatest monetary gift ever given to God. By one man. Ever. That's a big statement. So, matter of fact, it's so big that some people try to correct the Bible because they don't think it's possible. But let's read it. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse number 1, "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, blistering stones, and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold, the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" God bless his word. Father, we pray that you would stir our hearts with this great gift that was given to you. And Lord, even tonight, from the hearts of your people, I believe there'll be some great gifts again given. Lord, we know how you measure things. You measure them starting with our hearts, and we're thankful for the heart of this church. We pray, God, that the heart of all of us would be enlarged, that we would love you more, that we would give more to you from our hearts, from our lives, from our work, from our witness, from our money, because you certainly deserve it. And we pray you'd speak to us through this passage and bless this church, Lord, as they give their faith promise as well. We ask this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Well, I want to start by saying this offering was so wonderful and great and special because it was his best personal effort. It was the best effort that David could give to God financially. You see in verse number 2, he says, "Now I have prepared with all my might." Boy, that's a good phrase. With everything I had, I gave it everything I've got. Wouldn't that be a good way to live? Just to give it everything you got, just to leave it all on the field, as they used to say. Just give it all the strength, all the best that you have to offer. He said, "I am prepared with all my might." But not just that, and all these things that he did in his kingdom that he had control over. You know, the king's got control over all the things of the kingdom, but he goes further to say, in verse number 3, "Moreover," more than this, not just all these things I've done with all my might in the kingdom to give to God, but more than that, "moreover, because I," verse 3, look at it, "because I have set my affection to the house of my God," watch it, "I have of mine own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." David said this, "I want you to know this is something that I personally did. This is something that came out of my own bank account, my own coffers. This is just not just money I was in control of. Yes, I did that in the kingdom. But over and above," you see that phrase? Isn't that a good phrase in the Bible about giving? Yeah. "Over and above." He said this was more than what was required. This was more than what was expected. I did something over and above, and I did it with my own proper good. The things that were in my house and my treasury and my riches as the king. I took my kingly riches. Amen. And I set them apart for God instead of keeping them for myself. He said, "I want you to know I did my very best. I did it with all my might. And I did it over and above. And it was of my proper good." It's a great offering. You know, all of us, when we give, it should be over and above. It should be not what required, but should be our very best. And it should be from what we have. I remember when my son came to me for the first time and wanted to give faith promise. And he said, "Daddy, I want to give faith promise." I said, "All right, son, I'll pray with you about that." I said, "What are you going to give?" He said, "I don't know how much you're going to give me." I said, "I'm not giving you nothing. I'm giving you zero." He said, "Well, how am I going to give?" I said, "Well, that's what you got to figure out."
Right?
Right.
Right.
It's your gift.
Right.
And so we worked a while. I worked with him. I mean, he was just a little boy. But he wanted to give.
Amen.
And so we figured out a way to give. And he started selling stuff. I mean, I never saw a little boy. I can't believe that he went to the dentist office and sold candy bars at a dentist office. That don't really seem like that go. Man, he came out with hundreds of dollars from the dentist office. And he made his faith promise in like, I don't know, it was about a month. He said, "Wow, this is too easy." Well, maybe you had a low faith promise.
But he learned it needs to be something that he's given out of his own effort, out of his own sacrifice. It's his gift. David said, look, I'm the king. But this was my money. This was my gold. Are you with me? This was my silver. And I want you to know that I did my best with what was mine, and I gave it to God. That's a great thing. Not only was this offering his personal best effort, but it was also for the house of his God. He said that several occasions. In verse number 2, he said, now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. And then he says in verse number 3, moreover, because I have set my affection. Watch it now. He set his affection to the house of my God. I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God. He had a love for the house of God. He had an affection to the house of God. And because he had such a love and affection for the house of God, he wanted to give to that every. You know, you can set your affection on whatever you want to set your affection on. But all that we would set our affection on the house of God. And by the way, that's bigger. You ought to love your church. Amen. You ought to love this place. But when I believe when he says he set his affection on the house of God is bigger than just where he would worship. Brother Fleur was talking to me. He was giving me one of those nuggets from the Bible that he often gets. He was talking about David saying, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He was talking about being in God's family. He was talking about being in the house of God as in his family, as living where he's a part of his family. Yeah. You know what the Bible tells us? We that are saved, we're the household of God. Yeah. The Bible tells us if we're saved, we are built up a spiritual house. He said there in Ephesians 2:19, he says, you know, you are strangers and you are aliens and you were so far off, but now you're made nigh by the blood of Christ. And he says, you're no more strangers, but you're foreigners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. The family of God is a house.
Amen.
He says this about us in the Bible. He tells us that we're God's building. We're God's building. I think God was building something more than just a temple in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. He was building a habitation, you see.
Yeah.
And God inhabits his people. You say, what does that have to do with mission? You're talking about we give all our money just for the work of the local church. Think about that in regards to to missionary work. The Bible says this. Jesus said this. He said, go out into the highways and hedges. And compel them to come in. Why? That my house may be filled.
Yes.
You know what missions is? It's filling God's house.
Amen.
You know, when we go around the world, what we're taking Jesus to the world and we're showing them that God's got a better family and another family and they can get into that family. And yes, they'll get a church and yes, they'll get a Bible and yes, they'll get a preacher, but they get to be in the house of God. They get to be in the family of God. Aren't you glad? This is a big family. And what we're really doing, we're filling up the house as it grows. Paul says, we get to be laborers together with God. And because we're God's building. And he says, I'm a master builder. And he told those Corinthians, he says, we're laying that foundation. No other foundation can be laid than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And we're laying a foundation for the lives of other people. And we're taking Jesus to the world. And there's a foundation for their life. And then there's a building. And they can build upon that foundation. And then he says this. What can they build upon that foundation? Gold and silver and precious stones. You know what this Bible says? It says that we can lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. I don't really know how all that works. But I know this. I think God's favorite color must be gold. You know why I think that? I read about where he lives. You read the book of the Revelation, you hit the word gold so many times your head spins. When he talks about his churches, he talks about the golden candlesticks.
Yeah.
When he talks about the crowns that he puts on the heads of those people that are going to cast them at the feet of Jesus, they're golden crowns. When he talks about the Son of God coming out of heaven, he talks about a golden crown upon his head. When he talks about so many places about the throne, he talks about the golden altar before the throne. When he talks about those angels, they've got golden vials. When he says, go measure the city of God, he goes out there with a golden reed. And then when he describes the city of God, he says that city is pure gold. He says that twice. The city of God is, God must like gold. I mean, he even puts it on the street. I don't know what it is. I don't know how it is. But wouldn't it be wonderful if what we give to God, and it goes on up to heaven, it gets laid up, what we give here, he receives up there. Because, by the way, all of this offering, it wasn't just to a house of God. It was to God himself. Would you look at verse number 9? The Bible said in verse number 9, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. What they're giving is not just to a religion. It's not just to a building. They're giving it to the Lord, the Bible says. And David said in verse number 14, at the end of the verse, for all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. David just wasn't giving this to a building. He was giving it to his God. And God was receiving it. And I think what we give to God, I think he still receives it. Amen. Maybe up in heaven somewhere, we give to God and we pour out our gifts and offerings to him. Maybe somewhere up in heaven, okay, here comes the truck. We've got another load of gold to put on the street.
Amen.
Go around over there to mansion number 500,672 and load some more gold over there. I don't know how. You tell me how it's done. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. There's gold everywhere up there.
Amen.
I mean, if they had to fix a pothole, they'd fix it with gold. It's all gold. And David said, I know what I want to give God. I don't want to give him wood, hay, and stubble. I want to give him some gold. And I want to give him a lot of gold. Isn't that good? You would say, well, God's God. Is that impressive? I think it does. He made a city out of it. He made a city out of it. This offering was for the house of his God to be expanded, to be enjoyed, for others to come into. And oh, the privilege we have to take the house of God and the building of God into all the world and let them find a home. Home. What a word, home. The world needs a home. They don't need one down here. They need one up there. And God says, I'm building a house. You want to be a part of it? I'm building a house. 1 Chronicles 29. I'm building a house. You want to give to it? You know the great, the amazing thing about this? David is given to this house, and he never would see it down here. He never would experience it down here, but he was given to it. As we give to God, you may never see the thing. Thank God for the missionary report. But there are some things you'll never see this side of heaven. That your gift to God for the benefit of the house, for the expansion of the house, for the filling of God's house, you'll never see it down here, but that doesn't mean it's not going to go up. It's going to be miraculous because you gave, just like David gave. He wanted to see that house built. You want to see God's house built? You want to see God's family be increased? This offering was David's best personal effort. This offering was for the house of his God. I see something else. This offering was huge.
Yes.
It was enormous. It was unbelievable. As I said, it's so unbelievable, people don't even believe it happened. The Bible says in verse number 4, look how big his gift to God was monetarily. Verse 4, he said he gave even 3,000 talents of gold. And then he made sure you knew even what kind of gold it was. He said it was the gold of Ophir. There's three passages. One's in Isaiah, and there's a couple other in another book of the Bible, I can't see on my notes. Job, two passages in Job and one passage in Isaiah talks about the gold of Ophir. That was the best gold you could find. All gold's not the same. Some's more pure than others. And David said, I tell you what, when I went and get that gold, I got the best stash.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't just get gold. I got the gold of Ophir. I got the gold that was the best in my vault. Maybe some of you guys, you got some guns and you've got a gun collection and you got some guns you show people and then you've got your stash. And you're not going to let anybody shoot those or handle those because, you know, these are the special.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that David went back into his vault and pulled out the most special, the purest, the most valuable set of gold, the gold that he could find, and he brought it all out to God. 3,000 talents of gold.
Yeah, preacher.
Now you say today, what does that mean? We don't deal in talents, we deal in pounds. Right? Well, I started saying that. You got some people fight about how much a talent weighs. But I'll give you this. The smallest weight of a talent is 75 pounds. That's the smallest. And then most have about 104 pounds. If you even go all the way up to 120 pounds. And we're talking about gold. We're not talking about meat.
Yeah, right.
Do you know gold is so valuable, they don't price it in pounds.
Right. Yeah, right.
They price it in ounces.
Right.
I did all that figuring today because I knew it'd be a blessing.
Yeah. Oh yeah!
I did all that figuring today because I wanted to know.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
What would this be on the market today? Gold is about $1,800 an ounce. I mean, you buy some of you. I won't ask you. You buy gold coins, you know.
Yeah.
I've seen some of those. They sell some of those coins, and they're so small. I mean, they don't weigh anything, but they're valuable.
Right.
You're not going to see anybody walk in with a pound gold coin. I did all the math. You take the smallest weight to the largest weight. Or to the medium weight, actually. 3,000 talents of gold weighs from 225,000 pounds to 312,000 pounds. That's over 100 tons of solid gold. In today's market, it would bring $6 to $8, ready for it, $1 billion. With a B. We're not talking about millions.
Yes.
How'd you like to have that faith problem?
Yes.
You say, preacher, though, he's the king. So are you.
Amen.
If you're saved by the grace of God, the Bible says he loved us. Amen. He saved us. He loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood and hath made us unto God kings and priests.
Amen.
Your God's not broke. You may have forgotten where David come from to get all that money. He came from a lower place than you came from.
Yeah.
He goes back in that hall.
How did he even get all that gold out? You talk about an effort to get it from the vault to God. 100 tons of gold, 1 billion. I don't know. I can't find anywhere else in the Bible where somebody tops that.
Just enormous. And you know the great thing? He gave all that to God. I like this. And right before he died, here's what God said about it. In verse 28 of the same chapter. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. He gave all that and God still made sure he was full of riches. He didn't. You'd think if you give $6 to $8 billion, you'd be broke. But God said, no, I just filled him on up. He was full of riches. Do you have that? I don't know how big of a chunk that made back in his vault, back in the palace. But God said when he died, I filled him all the way up to the top. What a gift. His offering was not just so enormously huge, but his offering provoked other people to give.
Yes.
When he did that, the Bible says in verse number 5, the gold for things of gold and the silver. You know, here's another thing. I'm not even counting silver. I'm so hung up on the gold, I don't even know what. I didn't even worry about silver. And by the way, the silver wasn't just run-of-the-mill silver either. The Bible said in verse number 4, he gave 7,000 talents of refined silver. I don't know what that's worth. Hundreds of millions of dollars. But when you're in the millions and you just went from the billions, it's just, you know. It's a big offering.
Yeah.
Well, verse 5, the gold for things of gold, the silver for things of silver. And you see, somebody's given more than you've given. Amen. You say, preacher, if I had a lot of money, it'd be so easy to give. I don't believe that. I don't believe for one second it was any easier for David to pull out 100 tons of gold and give it to God as it will be for you to sign your faith promise commitment tonight. Amen, friend. People that say that because they never had anything. When you have something, you know what you got. You don't want to lose it. Amen. I don't know how many battles he went through to get all that. I bet he had all the notches on his belt of where all that gold came from. That's a big deal. But when he gave that, the Bible says at the end of verse number 5, he says this. I love David. I'll put it, well, go ahead and read it. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day? David said, here you go, God, there's my gift. And then he turns to the people and said, okay, who what you going to give?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. You know, a good reason for you to give is to provoke somebody else to give.
Yeah.
Provoke your children to give. Yeah. Provoke your neighbor to give. Provoke your church family to give. Amen. To provoke another church that's deadbeat and won't give to missions, provoke them to give.
Amen.
Can you imagine some of those rich people watching David wheel out all that gold? And David says, you guys got an offering? And of course we would say, no, I don't have it. That's not what they did. He says, who then is willing? Who then is willing? And then the Bible says in verse number 6, Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams
and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. So David gives 3,000 talents of gold, and now all these leaders and all the rulers and all those people that had something, they came and they were spurred, and they give 5,000 talents. Now their gift is between $10 and $13 billion. On top of his $6 to $8 billion. Wow. And the people hadn't even started giving yet.
Wow. Glory be to God.
Yeah.
Hello.
They're giving so much, I bet the devil's head was spinning. What is going on? God's getting the biggest gift he's ever gotten. You know what they're going to do? They're going to shout and rejoice and be full of gladness and thanks. And before it's over with, they're going to start, verse 21, they're going to start sacrificing animals. They just get in such a spirit of giving, they can't stop.
Amen.
And so then the people start giving. The Bible don't even say what they gave. It just says in verse number 8, and they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Verse number 9, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly. And then don't tell you what the people gave. The Bible does tell us that final count of that offering, evidently, if you go all the way back to chapter 22, I think it's in verse 14. It's all together, and it may have been stuff that he brought out before they started this giving process. But the Bible talks about 100,000 talents of gold. And that's the one that just blows the circuits of all the writers. And they say, there is not a monarch in history of the Bible that ever had that much money. Yeah. Because you know what that is? That's over $200 billion. Given to God. That's pretty big, isn't it? I'm glad I'm related to these people.
Yeah.
I'm in the same family.
Amen.
And I ought to have the same spirit they've got.
Yeah.
And I ought to give whatever my best is. I want to give it for the house of God and for the filling of the house of God, and so the family of God can get bigger and bigger, and so the world can have a home in Christ Jesus. And I want my giving to provoke someone else to give too. But this is a great thing too. The Bible says in verse number 5, he said, and who then is willing? He said at the end of verse number 6, they offered willingly at the end of the verse. Verse number 9, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. Verse number 14 in the middle of the verse, offer so willingly after this sort. Verse number 17, middle of the verse, as for me in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. End of the verse, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. 7 times the word willingly is in that text. They had perfect willingness to give God whatever he wanted. And don't we read that same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 about all those poor people that started all their offering? It says they were willing of themselves. And it says in that text, it'll be accepted first if you have a willing mind. God never got any gold or silver or anything else from anybody until they got willing to give.
Right.
Oh God, I'm willing.
Yeah.
They were willing in themselves, and they gave themselves to the Lord. Oh, let us be willing to do what God wants us to do. Not grudgingly, but willing. David's not making these people do this. They're doing it willingly. What a joy, Shady Acres, to see your willingness to give. Amen. But I've got to hasten. I like this one, next one. This offering provoked others to give. It was done willingly. It was enormous.
It was for the house of God. It was his best personal effort. But we learn this, and this does really not fit with our mentality. This offering was humbling. Now you'd think if you gave that much, you'd put a big banner out and say, you know, sort of, this is our faith promise. This event, this gift humbled David. Look at it. He says in verse number 13, "Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I?"
Glory be to God.
"And what is my people?
Glory.
That we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort." God, I just can't believe what you've enabled me to do. I just can't believe, because who am I? You know, David said that in the Bible four times. They said, "You ought to marry Saul's daughter." He said, "Who am I that I should be son-in-law to a king?" And he said, "Who am I that God should pronounce that my house should be ruling forever and ever and ever? Who am I?" And he gave all this money and he looked at it and he stepped back and said, "God, who am I that I should have been able to do what I've done? I can't believe it. And I'm humbled." Because he never forgot on the backside of that field where he labored. "And I'm a poor man. And I'm the least in my father's house. And I'm from a little insecure, in a place that no one cares about, Bethlehem. And I had nothing. And nobody thought another word about me. And now I just laid $8 billion.
Well, glory be to God. Hallelujah.
How in the world, God, did you do this with my life?"
Amen.
Oh, church, it ought to be. Some of you used to remember you couldn't pay your bills. Some of you remember when you didn't have two nickels to rub together. Some of you remember, amen, where your life was ruined and wrecked and you didn't have anything. And now God's done something with your life. And God's done something with your church. And God's done something with your family. And God's done something with your offering. And you ought to just say, "Lord, who am I that we're able to give after this sort? How in the world could you do this for me?"
Hey.
Oh, we ought to take off our crown of glory and pass them in peace. He could have never dreamed how he could have that much gold anywhere. But God, you did it. You did something, and I don't know how you did it with me. But it sure does humble me.
Glory.
I shouldn't be preaching in this wonderful church.
Yeah.
Little young, red-headed, freckle-faced, glasses-wearing little boy with no personality. And shy as the day is long. Anything you've ever got to do for God, anything we've ever been able to give to God, it just ought to humble us and say, "Lord, you're so big. You're so wonderful. Who am I?" That's an offer. "Lord, here's my faith promise. Who am I that I'm able to give? Here's my life, God. Who am I?" But it doesn't stop there. The last thing he says. He says, "But who am I? And what is my people?" You know, all those people that gave, Israel, they used to be in bondage. They didn't have anything either. "What is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort?" I like this. He says this, For all things come of thee and of thine own have we given thee. He said, God, this offering, it humbles me, but God, this offering, that's your stuff anyway.
Yes.
I got all that from you.
Hey.
All that gold came from you. That's yours, God. And David said something that probably no king ever said.
And I really think it's where our Lord Jesus Christ, when he gave that model prayer, I think he's thinking about David. Would you look at verse 10? Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Watch it and tell me if it doesn't sound like Jesus Christ in verse number 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Look at it. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. You know what David says? Thine is the kingdom. What king ever said that about his kingdom? God, this gold's
not just not mine.
This kingdom is not mine. The kingdom's yours. The power's yours. The greatness is yours. The majesty is yours. It's all yours, God. You know, I'm just amazed that you would entrust me with enough of your stuff to let me give all this stuff back.
Well, glory.
Oh, Lord our God, verse 16. All this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. And he ends it and he sends these people home. And I send you home with verse 18. The prayer of David after this offering. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this. Keep this forever in the imagination of the hearts of thy people. And Lord, when I'm dead and gone, help them to remember this day. And God, when they go through life and their life goes up and down, help them to remember this day. Help them to remember all that's been given, all that you've given, and how great you are, and stick it in their imagination where they'll never be able to get away. Oh, if God would put something in our mind that would never come out of his greatness and his glory, maybe he would continually get all that he deserves. Bow with me, please. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for this great gift. We stand amazed, Lord. Thank you for what you've given to me, Lord. Just dust and ashes, God. What you've given to me. Thank you, Lord. What you've given to your people here tonight. We stand amazed at it, Lord. It's all yours. It all belongs to you. And we pray, oh God, you'd stick this in the imagination of our hearts and minds that we'd never get it away from it. That all that we have is yours. We'd see what kind of a big God you are. We would remember those days of sacrifice and giving to you. Lord, I don't know what the future holds, but help us to remember our wholehearted commitment to thee. May we never get away from it. Bless your church. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Our heads are bowed.
Together, I need about six men down here in the front, please. We're going to hand out these cards, these faith promise cards. Blue cards are for the children, white cards are for the adults.